This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
What's up, world? It's a trim, healthy, chocolatey podcast. I don't know what we're talking about today, but the chocolate's good and the weather's nice.
Is that 100%?
Yeah, you want some chocolate?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Serene only purchases
you want me to, how many pieces you want?
I'll take one more. Like a crack, like you just did.
What that?
Hiya. Hi. No!
5 second rule.
Five second rule. So, you know, when we first started Trim Healthy, no thanks.
Because I want to tell you about this. It's so thin.
No, excuse me.
Okay.
When one person, and I just listened to our last potty, and we were pretty bad, you guys, at talking over one another.
Brilliant.
I mean, I know our last potty was about.
I disagree. I'm sorry.
Yesiness. So it required a lot of talking over, but it was a little hard to
follow. You had to talk over the top of each other because if you left each line poignant, you know, if you left space around each line, it's too ooky.
It hung in the air.
Yeah,
I want to train you two a little bit that because I'm a little bit better than you two. Just saying. They're not talking over.
Oh, and they're not talking over?
Mm-hmm. No, actually, really? Danny's not bad. The worst is you.
I want to be the worst.
Okay, there you go.
I'd say I never do it.
I'd say you're pretty good, yeah. We talk over you a lot.
I'd say you always
And Serene talks over me a lot. I do tend to talk over her a few times, and I talk over you, Danny.
Yeah, I get talked over probably the most.
Always blind. That's why they're called blind
spots. It's funny that you're trying to do a high five, but really it's more like I shall bash you.
No, it's just we're sitting too close.
It's not like an aggressive, hey, Kate.
Blah, blah, blah.
You're breaking the rule. You're looking at the camera.
Don't you dare do it either. Don't.
Now that you told me, I want to look at the camera so
just,
bad.
It's my thing.
I want to.
Third mic. Archetypes, characters.
Oh! Is that there?
Pearl, please.
It's for real. What are we talking about? I said when we first started Trim Healthy, we said 85% chocolate's on plan, right? Because the sugar amount is so low. And it's...
Yeah.
Okay, but...
It's minimal.
Many of us are still eating 85%, but you... Do you ever buy it anymore? Ever? You find it putrid, right?
Yeah.
You only do 100%.
Well, it's my smokes and cigars, right?
Mm.
I don't smoke or smoke cigars, and I never have. But to me, this is my smokes and cigars. It's like that, the most bitter, it's given me that.
Mm.
Okay, so for people not following our YouTube right now, they had to look at you. The people following could see the face and see what she's getting out of it. But there was just silence.
Okay, well, what I mean, I was just putting on a bunch of expressions that just showed the robustness of 100%. It's you know, it's not a little lollipops person's chocolate.
Mm-mm.
It's there's such mystery to it, and it goes down smooth, and it has no bottom. It just keeps going deeper.
It's your vice.
And deeper. Mm. Well, actually, I don't have a lot of it. I've had this for a month. I felt like I needed a little something to finish my lunch today.
I mean, vice in terms of it gives you that thing, like not that it's even close to this, but like a cigar in your mouth is like kind of stings your mouth a little. It's bad for
you. It's a little
bit
of pain.
Yeah, and you enjoy the
Hey, we're not into promoting cigar smoking, by the way. When I was little, I actually was so. I had a problem with people smoking. You know, I had like it was.
You literally thought it was a sin. She thought it was a sin against God to smoke.
When I was young,
I
got a thing about it. I got a hung about it to the point where I was so I thought it was just the most revolting thing to do. Then my brain switched and I got really concerned that one day I'd grow up and be like a different person and start smoking.
So when
I was five, I remember sitting in the corner of my living room. And saying, Lord Jesus, help me never grow up and smoke.
I'm praying.
And he did.
I prayed against it. Isn't that hilarious?
He answered
that
prayer. How weird
is that? What a weird brain space.
You know, I think a cigar every now and again is required.
Okay, so there's children listening. So
whatever you want, Danny.
It's not like we promoted it.
It's bad for you, Danny.
They need to know the truth.
It makes your lungs black.
Well, you don't inhale a cigar.
That's what they say. But
whatever.
Let's
you do. You
get
breathe. It's in the room. I know you inhale. Guess why? Not you particularly, but
I'm Bill Clinton.
When I walk past cigar smokers, I have to hold my breath for longer than I hold my breath for just cigarette smokers because it lingers so long and it has that rank, that putrid rank that you have to really hold for 5 minutes before you can take a normally fresh breath.
Yeah.
You have to like breathe.
May I breathe something of worth?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. So I got the idea for this actually when I was sitting in church on Sunday And actually, when this potty drops, it will be a week and a half since I listened to this.
Go ahead and be as accurate as you
I'm trying to be because
a week and a half, it lasts 75
seconds. It matters when they hear this because when this is dropping, it will be a week and a half since Easter weekend.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was a message. It was an Easter message, right, that one of the Hilltop guys was sharing at the Hilltop Church. And it was a really incredible message. Actually, what kind of really jumped out at me was something that was not what it was about. He was talking about that scripture in Mark 16:7, where, you know, the tomb is rolled away. And in...
No.
This is after Jesus died and...
No.
Okay, you do know.
The tomb was not rolled away.
Okay, well, it was not...
The door of the tomb.
The stone.
Yeah, the stone. The stone, good job.
I just thought you were going to go all anti-Christian on you.
Hey, there's some serious religious people out there.
That's true. The stone was rolled away or halfway or whatever, enough to get into the tomb.
Yeah.
And then who arrived at the tomb? Whoever the angels talked to, it was it Mary Magdalene? Mary?
Yes. No, it was the one that had like seven
it was Mary.
Demons in prior.
Okay, so and I don't want to get it wrong because people are going to tell me my theology is wrong, but all I know is that someone walked in the tomb and there were angels there, right? And the angel said, now go back. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. And they talked about meeting
up,
right?
My translation says, go tell the disciples and Peter.
Yeah, most of them say, go tell the disciples and Peter.
But you see, he was a disciple.
I know, but this is the thing, Serene. Let me bring it. Peter was one of Christ's first disciples. He was the main one. But just before this incident, right, he had denied Christ three times, right? We all know what happened with Peter. Peter must have been feeling like such a failure loser. He didn't think of himself as a disciple anymore because the angel actually had to single him out. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Okay. Mm. And Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting there thinking to myself and I was just thinking about, you know, because my brain always goes to the health journey and, you know, there's a part of it. There's a spiritual and there's a physical, but it intertwines.
Oh, yeah.
And this relates to other aspects of our life, though. So many of us feel like failures, and I know that there is so many people that have even done our plan or you know, started this healthy lifestyle and for whatever reason messed up and then completely discounted themselves, separated themselves because of shame or because of failure or because of whatever. And I feel like when I heard that, like, go tell Peter and his disciples, it was like God saying, hey, you.
Go tell the Trim Healthy Mamas. Yeah. But especially go tell Sue who ate a dozen donuts last night.
Go tell her. Who's discounted
you
herself
are my
and told herself, no, I'm not worthy. I'm a failure. Look at me. I've jumped on that plan 100 times and I've fallen off as many times or more. And you look at me, I've gained 50 pounds back. I felt like, and I'm not the person that goes around saying, God told me to say it. I just felt this thing go into my spirit to say, go tell her. She still is my disciple. She still is, you know, the one that she started out to be, that I called her to be.
In this case, you're Pearl's disciple.
No. It's just an analogy, but she's just trying to go and tell the one that's feeling that, shame, that feels on the outs. Go tell the one that feels like they're not part of the Trim Healthy Club anymore. Yeah. They're not part of the one that like, that
they can
does
call
the stuff.
Herself like, okay, I do this. You know, I rock it. Go tell the one that's not rocking it that you're still called.
I love it though.
That I still own you, that I still love you, that I still look
and
at
she's
you.
Not talking
and,
about
no,
her.
No, no, no. I'm not talking. Well, I in my own life, there are many things that I could point to that I felt a failure with.
You're not
with.
Saying go tell someone from your perspective. I was just clearing up for Danny.
Oh, okay. I feel it's like everyone's tracking me.
Yeah, I was just making sure for Danny.
But Danny's got a tracking look in his eyes. It's just some of the things he says don't track.
No, I'm tracking.
Oh, you are tracking?
Yeah, I'm tracking. It's just that one little nugget.
Yeah. Oh, you were pulling out a different
You were
nugget.
Like, go tell my disciples. And I was like.
Oh, okay. You were being literal.
But God is a God of, he's, well, first of all, he's not a God of condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone feeling that condemnation in them, even for something like diet, You know that that thought is not a thought that comes from him. And if it doesn't come from him, then it's not a thought to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But the fact is, we do things. I could look at my own life of things that I failed and succeeded with. And it's one, this is just, I bring it up because it's easy, right? And it's an easy analogy in my life because I've got bigger and deeper things that I have felt a failure with, but God has called me back to them. But this is a really practical, easy visual one for me to explain. So I keep bringing up me as a bed maker, Pearl as a bed maker, right? I've said it so many times that I struggled. I felt called. This sounds crazy. I felt called to becoming a bed maker. I felt like it represents something really good in my life. And if I can conquer it, if I can be that woman, I will have achieved a big milestone in my life. But and, you know, so I struggled with that for many years because I didn't have the identity of a bed maker. So I just forced myself to do it, you know. And then I felt shame when I couldn't. I felt like, well, I'll never be a bed maker. And then, you know, I walked into it, Danny. A lot of what we've come to, us three, is, you know, what if you could? What if you could be a bed maker? So I took on that identity. And but there were even times during that season that I would go weeks without being a bed maker. And this thought would occur in my head, well, you're not a true bed maker, are you? Mostly you're a pretender and a failure.
Yeah.
And not like those other women that just get up and do it.
I have the same thing.
You have to struggle with it.
I have the same thing with working out consistently.
Right.
Because what we are is what we consistently do.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I don't do that, and Instagram kills me because then you, of course, see all the guys that
but
do.
But not necessarily.
What?
Maybe we are who we, how we're meant to be seen, who we are called to be. Maybe that's who we really are, right? Maybe we do everything every day how we shouldn't, right? Your point was we are really who
what we consistently do. Yeah.
But maybe that's not our true identity. Because maybe something, somebody was born to be a fish and swim and he has everything to be the best fish in the world, but he doesn't swim. He just sits on a rock.
My daughter's goldfish.
And just does
swim,
nothing.
Dude.
Like,
yeah.
But it's his identity is still a fish. He just hasn't like realized that he should be swimming, you know?
Yeah.
So I challenge that thought.
He's a fish in his heart.
You know? But he doesn't even
realize
it yet.
No, he's a real fish. I feel this. Yeah. I totally feel this. Like,
he doesn't realize it.
Us as people, right? We have unlimited potential. And so, yeah, like, I identify as a workout god.
Yeah.
But every time I look in the mirror, I fail to see that guy. I'm like, ooh, that's not what I pictured. Yeah, people are different. Like, some people imagine themselves a certain way and then they're shocked when they look in a mirror. You know what I'm saying? Like on one hand or the other, like when I look in a mirror, I'm always shocked that I'm not as glorious as I picture myself. When I walk down the road, you should see what I see. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. And it looks like it's cinematic. I mean, it's right out of a scene. There's music playing. And then I'll walk past like a building in downtown Nashville.
You get your reflection.
And I'm like, oh, someone's teenage daughter is dressed like a boy. And so, and I do, because like this outfit, this, okay, here's what I picture. I picture Ryan Gosling and he's wearing this and that's me, but I don't see that in the mirror. And the reason I don't see that in the mirror is because I don't get up and do push-ups like Ryan Gosling does. And that's kind of my point, is that like, not all that we are is what we consistently do, but what we, our identity, right? Often does not match our actions is my point.
Yeah, no, it's so true.
And like, I love what you're saying because, you know, you can switch that, but you actually have to consistently show up.
Right.
And if you're going to be that, it can float in potential
it's
all
true,
year,
but the
right?
The calling never stops, right? Because think about it. Peter, at that point, had done something so that he didn't look like a disciple. He wasn't acting like a disciple. Peter thought he was no longer a disciple. Well, I'm out of the disciple club, obviously.
Yeah. And it wasn't John who like leant in his chest. You know how he reclined while eating the Last Supper. You know, John was the one that always was sat closest to God.
Identified.
And it wasn't John, like, go tell the disciples, oh, and my special friend, John. No, it was, go tell my disciples and Peter. It was the failure one he called out and was like, I really care to mention his name. Make sure that he knows that I want to hang with him.
And also, the other disciples obviously thought Peter was no longer in the club either.
Yeah, and potentially he was hiding out, maybe acting like he wasn't in the
house. Can I enlarge it?
Yes.
Because it made me think.
Okay, but I got to finish my bedmaker story.
Yeah, go finish your bedmaker story.
And then you enlarge it.
Yeah.
So all that to say, I kept feeling like, I guess Peter, but in a much more, you know, smaller sense, like a fraud, no longer in the bedmaking club. But I kept feeling the calling on my heart, like, no, that was my identity. Why can't I be that? Why can't I be that? But so I steadily plodded into it, fought off the lies. I'm a bedmaker. I mean, to this day, you got to check my bed, Serene.
Wow.
It's made. I have come to believe and accept the DNA of a bedmaker, and it's in my very cells. I can't. There will be a day or so where it doesn't happen now.
Yeah.
But over the years of just retraining my identity as that, and I know it sounds silly. Who cares about a made bed? But to me, it was like, if I can do this, think of the other things I can do. And it's kind of
it was a micro habit
similar
that you knew was going to go.
If we can change our micro habits, we can change our macro habits, right? And my identity is. No, I'm actually one of those people that were kind of born bed makers. You know, you get them, right? They have to feel, they don't feel right if their bed's not made because that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
What if we don't feel a win when we make our bed, though? Like, I've made my bed in the past. It's happened.
Yeah.
But I never feel any
maybe that's not your calling. Maybe you don't have to make your bed. It was just something that I felt called to. It's not necessary for a long, healthy life.
But you know what I'm saying? Like the small habit. I think there's a book, Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
And it's an idea, right? It's not original to him, but it's this idea of changing these micro things and then they cascade. But maybe that works for people without ADHD. I feel like I can change.
Oh, well, don't become a victim though.
Yeah.
Because people with ADHD have accomplished incredible things and overcome that. I mean, of course you're going to struggle in certain areas, and of course you're going to, be flourishing in others.
The struggle makes you strong.
Yeah.
The struggle makes you strong, and the fact is that maybe that because it didn't come natural to you, Pearl, because you had more of a struggle in your bed making, because you had to fight for the identity. I think of you as more of a bed maker than somebody who was born making their bed.
Me too. And Serene, this is what I'm trying to say. I haven't struggled in my health journey.
I know.
That's my passion. Yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah, Come on. This is fun.
Right.
But struggling in other things. So I'm speaking to those who have struggled in their health journey.
And I want to say, Peters, you never have looked so strong.
Yeah.
Because in your struggle is where you have to grow your grit.
Yeah.
It's where you find your feet and where you have to stand even when you feel like I'm going to sink in this, where you learn to stand in somewhere that and where you learn to almost walk on water where you have no business walking, right? And so
is this where you're going to enlarge it?
No, I was going to enlarge it if you want me to go there right now is when he said on Sunday, our hilltop preacher guy at church, he's like, go tell the disciples and Peter. And I heard you behind me go, I heard you gasp. And then I started thinking too, because I remembered that the first words he spoke to the entire disciples, his first actual words from his lips.
After he was risen again?
Mm-hmm. When he spoke to the group as a whole. When he walked in into the room and he just appeared. And he said, let me see, because I looked it up just before. I walked in today because you told me you were going to bring that revelation. Jesus' first words to the gathered disciples, peace be with you. And they were a whole bunch of failures, Pearl. Yeah. It wasn't just Peter. Peter felt the worst because he had specifically said that cock will crow three times. He's like, no, not me. I will die for you,
But the whole show was over.
But all of the disciples, like they couldn't even stay awake. The special ones he took, to kind of like help him through emotionally the hour in the garden. He kept on going and said, can't you stay awake with me at least 1 hour? None of them could stay awake. And then I don't know who lopped off the ear. Was that Peter?
That was Peter too.
Well, not to mention the reigning king was dead.
And then you got Thomas at this point, you know, who's already said, I don't believe it, you know, until I see the hands and feet. So he, you know, he's the doubter. And so you've got the whole bunch of them that are really like, the whole thing is over. We obviously got this guy wrong. You know, he's obviously not the deliverer. You know, they were all a bunch of failures at that point. Mm-hmm. And Jesus walks in and instead of like, I can't believe it, you betrayers, you no hope of friends. That's the last time I'm going to pick you lot. You know, he walks in like, peace be with you. Like, you're cool with me. You're
they
cool
left
with
their
me.
Businesses and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when you hear that in story form, they're like, and they dropped their nets and followed. It's so quick, but it's like, walk away from your full-time job. Walk away from, if you're a self-employed person, you know what it means to grind late into the night trying to get an invoice in or something like that. Like, just stop doing it and follow this dude making claims. It was a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal now, but now there's like government programs that will help you. Like, then you could just get cast off into the leper colony with the poor and never be rich again. These people made massive life changes.
Yeah, but my point being to that, you know, the Lord saying, no, I'm cool with you, in the modern way of saying peace be with you, is that God, he never puts us in a hole, like puts the people that have failed, the people that have not, you know, come up trumps in all of their challenges or in all of their goals. And he's like, No, you're cool with me. He is not a God of condemnation. He's a God that receives us back and always, you know, gives us another go in him and his strength.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
And you know what the most amazing thing is? Peter, the one who thought he was out, gone, you know, away from the other disciples, thinking, well, there's nothing I could blow it more. I've pretty much blown the biggest way you absolutely can. Is then the rock that the church was built on. The biggest failure.
He was such a loudmouth too, right?
But look at what he accomplished in the end, because he was called back into his identity.
Right.
I mean, so there were two ways. I mean, that's what God does, right? He doesn't leave us there to be failures. He says, He installs us within us, just hope and success, and I love the story so much. Going from cowering, probably someplace hiding his face. I mean, Peter must have felt like such a Judas almost, but he came back, and I mean,
just think of all the stories in the Bible where, you know, the particular examples of those called, they all failed.
Mm.
I mean, you think of Moses, you know, he failed. He, you know, murdered somebody and then has to run off into the woods. Yeah. So did David. And that was for worse selfish reasons. Mm. And then you've got Joseph, who was just like a self-righteous little punk, you know, proud, and, you know, and he has to go through all that he went through just to kind of like get his head screwed on again. But there's so, you could walk through all of the examples, you know, and even Abraham, you know, instead of waiting for the promise, you know, they start to take things into their own hands. And it's just, why are those written and recorded for us, you know, unless it's for an example to us that, hey, it doesn't matter if you're back on your nose again, you're still called.
Yeah, and then I remember we started the very first podcast, and I felt like saying, well, we were like, why are we doing this? And I said, I think I want to say to people, you are a trim, healthy mama. It doesn't matter if you don't feel like one. You are. Come back into your calling.
Oh, that's epic. I mean, same for motherhood. Same for fatherhood.
Yes.
Man, once your kids hit their older teens and you realize all of your failures are becoming manifest in them, and you, you know, if you see character traits or things that you see them struggle with, and you, like, I'll see my kids struggle with something, and I'll look back and I'll be like, man, like, that's because I didn't do this or that. I didn't teach them this, or I didn't show them that. And, you know, it's like, I'm applying this to myself. Like, man, you're still a dad. You're still their dad. And you still are rocking it.
Yeah.
Like you're their rock star dad that is continuing to show up. You know, like I wasn't a model of perfection to them. I was a model of showing up.
Yeah, yeah. You were. Yeah, I love it, so Dan. Good, Dan. And you know, that reminds me of like Steve. Steve, you know Steve. We've been working with him for our Trim Healthy hormone program.
Yeah.
Steve is, Steve is wide open. I said, oh God, not like. No, not Steve. I meant of how wide open.
Yes. I love Steve. He's got a huge personality. But we've spent so much time together lately because we're working on all these algorithms for all our hormone programs that we're going to bring. And just too much time in one another's faces every day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sitting with Steve. So we've talked about so much stuff. And we were talking about family and raising children. And I said, you know, Steve, you're such an open guy. You feel like, you know, you can talk, you're easy to talk to. I said, do your children just love and respect you? You know, do you feel like, when you look back, because his children are growing now, do you feel like you did a good job with them? And he's like, oh, Pearl, oh, my children had so much to forgive me for.
Yeah.
But they have. And I've spent many a day saying, you know what? What I did back then was little bit intense. I'm an intense person. You know, Stephen, he is intense. And I was kind of intense in my fatherhood. But I have just shared my heart before them and said, I didn't do it perfectly, but I sure hope you felt my love. And adore him.
Oh, yeah. See, I've had people like compliment what have you done? You know, surely you can write the Bible on parenting because look at your children. And I'm like, dude, these kids are awesome in spite of me. Yeah. It's not because, and they're like, oh no, it's you. You're the good. And it's like, man, if you could have been there, I could prove to you.
But you know what comes across is your heart to be that father, Danny, even though it causes you to experience emotion because of your heart to be what you want to be, what they need from you. And sometimes you don't measure up, of course, because none of us can, right? None of us can be someone's everything.
Right.
But your heart is your children know your heart because we just saw it.
Right. I love
it. And even when you're probably a jerk of a dad, it's going to happen. We're all jerks.
But people love humility, right?
They know it. Yeah,
people love humility. And it really, you'd rather have somebody who messed up occasionally come back and just be so honest and say, I just blew it. Like I was just a real jerk yesterday or whatever. But I super love you. Then somebody who was like pretty much not a jerk, but never really shared the depth of their soul.
Yeah, you know? was a ghost in the house.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I had a therapist tell me that that studies have shown when there's in all family dynamics, there's rupture. There's usually rupture without repair.
Yeah.
But in healthy family dynamics, there's still rupture. Mm. There's just repair.
Yes.
And what she said is that data shows that the repair leaves a relationship better than had the rupture never happened.
Oh, Danny, it's so true. Like, I just think of my marriage.
Yeah.
I just think of all of the rough stuff that we've gone through and just the mortar that's been put back into those spots that were weak. And I'm like, whoa, I'm so thankful for those times. I'm so thankful for those, you know, potholes in the road. I'm so thankful for those twists that rock the cart because, wow, like, we would never have built back stronger, as strong as we are.
Oh, no.
And it's like the scar tissue becomes stronger, right?
Well, in the knowledge that here is one I can face X, Y, and Z with versus, you know, people that, I mean, these people will get divorced after 20 plus years and then it's like they'll start over. And so much of it is not irreparable. Yeah. It's just this grass is greener hallucination that people go into. And they literally start over, but now they've got to go back to kindergarten and work on the same bull crap that they got through 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, I'm always, when I talk to my married friends who've been married a long time and perhaps are struggling and considering options, I'm like, just let there be one option. And that is to keep on a grinding as is your calling.
Yes.
Because that is literally a relationship. That's what it is. You're not in this special relationship that's struggling. You're in a normal one. Mm. Every relationship struggles. Right. You all will face jealousy. Mm. You will, all the wives are going to have to overcome jealousy. All the men are going to have to overcome anger. You can switch those two. Women have to overcome anger. Men have to overcome jealousy. But as the bell curve goes, typically that's, mm-hmm. you know, what's happening. And, you know, these ruptures that enter into relationships, whether it's with your spouse, with your kids, you know, like I love what you're talking about. You know, this was typified in this story of Peter, this ancient story of this man who completely just denied everything, just walked away from everything, was afraid, but failed miserably. And man, if that doesn't describe everybody, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like this special character, Peter. It's like, no, it's for you. Yeah. That is a element of reality that's in your life.
Right.
And, you know, that restoration is so much more powerful than the breakdown.
And just think people, some people that are just peaceful kinds of people, you know, and we're all called to peace, right? But it's the one with anxiety that's even more called to peace.
Yeah.
Right? So it's...
There's more to fight.
Yeah. There's more of a call. So say you feel like you're failed on your health journey. Say you feel like you're not measuring up to your goals and all of that. You're called. That calling is so strong on you, and it's more strong because you need that hand to draw you back.
You know, one of the biggest things... because when we talk about coming back, you know, obviously, if we're talking to the Trim Healthy journey, right? That's something that in the scheme of what could go wrong in your life and what mm-hmm. could fail in your life, this one is easily correctable. Mm-hmm. You can just step back on the wagon, right? Mm-hmm. But there's things that seem like there's absolutely no hope. Like in a relationship with a kid that's now moved away, and there's this doesn't answer your calls. I mean, there's heavy stuff that parents are going through, and you know, it's surprising what a little bit of vulnerability can do to those relationships of actually making a phone call. And instead of like what the generation I feel before my generation did, like my parents and their parents, nothing was ever talked about. It was all assumed. And if somebody was upset about something, they just lived that way.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to break in my family line is not that we'll never fail again. My children are going to fail their kids. Mm-hmm. But I want to give them a new habit. And that is when you fail them, you go to them and you confess it. Like old-fashioned confession, ask them for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Tell them it's you blew it, you know? And as I know for me as a dad, that's been way harder than I'm making it sound like right now. It's been really hard for me to say what I did wrong and then look them in the eyes and make sure they know that I love them, mm-hmm. right? Because if you don't, and I mentioned this on the Danny Takeover podcast, like I didn't have that download put in. Nobody ever did that to me.
Right.
I don't know what that looks like.
Right.
Right.
And so to do that, especially to my male children, was just a mountain. Like you can't even understand the mountain I had to overcome just to like eye contact, ask for forgiveness and tell them I love you.
But as you do that, you're breaking change. You're breaking generational change.
And I'm giving them something.
Yes, you
like
are.
I don't look.
You've
I don't
given
mean,
huge.
Look,
huge
and you
things.
can pray about it.
Yeah.
You can go to therapy. You can do all that.
Yeah.
None of that matters if you don't do it to them. You have to physically give them this thing.
Right, right.
You have to give it
and
to
it
them.
And it doesn't even really matter, too, who was wrong and who was right, mm-hmm. too. Because a lot of it, there's so many nuances. That's such a word, you know, in relationship struggles. Well, you know, when somebody comes to fix it, mm-hmm. well, there's just so many nuances. You know what I mean? But I feel like even if you feel like it wasn't necessarily your fault, mm-hmm. there's still nothing wrong with going apologizing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because apologizing just for the fact that there's pain. Even 100%. If their pain may be even imagined that you have given it to them. You know, some pain is just all imagined in their brain. You know, it's like you didn't actually do that, but they can twist it around and make, you know, whatever. But there's still nothing wrong with sorry. I think it's, like you said, it's so healing. But you know how you said you had nobody to instill that into you? But I think it's a universal hard. It's a universal hard because it's against the flesh. It's against the flesh to say sorry. And especially in Christian homes, like self-righteous Christian homes, they didn't necessarily grow up with people saying sorry.
No.
Because it's such a Pharisaical thing to have pride to think you're right, never have to say sorry.
Well, and there's also this religious just horse manure on parents that they're always right and they're the like anointed always right king or something. And it's like whatever happens, it's just like the kid's always in the wrong or isn't seeing it right or whatever. And it's like, dude, sometimes these little dudes fresh from heaven have some revelation for us. And actually in their wrong, in their screaming and crying, have a message for us.
Yeah.
You know, a kid screams and cries. The default usually is like, hey, suck it up. You got no problems. You're living in America. There's real problems out there. This was old me, by the way.
Yeah.
There's real problems out there. Like, stop your complaining, get in, put your seatbelt on, and be quiet. Well, what do you want to give your kids, you know? What type of adults do you want them to be? And what happens when their little sister does that? How do you want them to treat their sibling? Right. You know, and you have to give it to them. You actually have to, like, what I want when my youngest daughter is putting up a fuss and my oldest son is in charge, right? What do I want him to do to her? Well, what I want is for him to be like, hey, we're okay, babe. Get in here. Come, first of all, let's get grounded. We're just out of sorts. Let's get a little, you know, I don't want him to deal with her harshly, but so how do I treat him? You know?
And I agree. And in the balance of that, just because this
please
is give
it.
And play,
yes.
is there are the times in softness to be firm. Because yeah. there's that way of parenting where there's no boundaries for the children, and then it's always just let's give a hug
I
for that.
I think it's so
then,
good, you know, like what you're
but
saying.
But I love your heart,
Danny,
about it.
Yeah, about yeah. the generation before you and the one before that didn't talk. It was like, well, they don't talk to me. That's the way it is. They've kind of left the family, you know. Yeah. And now this is a communicating generation. With that can sometimes come extremes where
yeah.
everyone's entitled to their big screaming fit and that's just what they're doing.
Yeah.
You want to
yeah.
feel anger, honey? You really feel that.
Yeah, the Walmart kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of course there's balance, but you know what? I love going back to Peter and the Jesus thing. You know, that was and that wasn't Jesus, that was his angel, but there was a message. Go tell Peter. He was told to tell them. He was passing, yeah. the angel was passing along a message.
Yeah.
You know, go tell Peter and my disciples. And then there was a message about it, right? It was a total, here's my hand, reach out. Come on, I know you're sitting in the corner, you think I don't love you anymore. Right. No.
Right.
Here I am. You know, I want to bring you back. I want you to come back. It wasn't a just leave you there in your stupidity. Yeah, you did wrong. Well, you know, suck it up.
I feel like your mic work is off today, Pearl.
I'm sorry. It's because I used to sit over there and I could look at you and keep my mic.
It's
look
unfair.
At Serene and now.
But you know what? You're doing great now, with what you've been given.
I am picky in the middle. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
If there is a relationship struggle even, let's just put it right there instead of, you know, the health journey for a bit. To just say, hey, I see you struggling over there. Hey, I'm extending my hand of relationship back to you. So it's the communication thing that's beautiful. But what this whole thing has been making me think of, like I said before, you know, if you're the one that's failed, if you're the one's face planted again, you're more called. There is more of a outstretch to you right now, like with the prodigal son. It reminds me of the prodigal story. And that son who was always doing everything right was like, what? By jingos? My dad is like killing the fat and calf. There's a party, like there's trumpet sounding and he's got the whole band, you know, and everyone's out feasting and the best wine, the cork's just, you know, like popped off the bottle. Like this is a huge celebration. What about me? Well, the deal is there's so much, you know, the heart of God, he loves restoration. His whole heart is for restoration. And so he gets excited about throwing a restoration party. So if you feel like you're face planted, that restoration party is, you're invited.
Okay, Serene, I got a good analogy. The fact that you have perfect meals every day. I know that you will. I have no doubt. You do it. Serene will always do it. I'm not going to go throw a party for you.
No.
I think, okay, who cares? Serene's going to be perfect again. You know, it's just what she does. It's easy.
It's not perfect.
No,
it's
but it's easy for you to eat ultimately in a hard way
for me
not to.
It would be hard for me. That would be my struggle.
But guess what? For someone that has fallen off, right, 100 times and then comes back and rocks it even if for a day, I want to throw a party.
And their calling is more.
Yeah.
And in their struggle, they're more strong.
Yeah.
Like, this is not an area of strength for me, really. People say, you're so strong in that. No, I'm not so strong in that. I was just born eating healthy. Yeah. But there are other struggles in my life. There are other struggles where I really have to dig in and I really have to stand, right? And really rest, really, of what I've learned, because all the struggle and the stand didn't work for me. Really, what's worked for me is just resting into God's strength and his identity and calling it mine, right? Okay.
Let's hear a struggle.
Well, you know,
come on, give it to us.
I've talked about it so many times on this podcast.
Give me a fresh one.
Fear.
Yeah, fear was a huge one. Fear, and even though my name is Serene, right, which is so interesting. Yeah. Serene, my middle name is Carice, which is Grace, right? And I believe I'm called to serenity. I'm called to peace, but that's been my struggle. Like, I don't necessarily have bunches of worry in my mind, but there's just been not anymore necessarily, but a stronghold fear in my life. And I had to fight for serenity. I had to fight for deep soul rest. I had to,
like the Bible said, labor into rest.
Yeah, I had to labor. Like, it was, but now I've realized my laboring is just staying with him, staying in him. All my works didn't really work. But the point being, and I've kind of lost my point now.
I'm so sorry.
The point was, you've had to, it's easy for you to do the health
but
thing.
In my peace, I'm actually really strong.
Yeah.
Because I've come so far. And I think of myself as, I'm a peaceful person because I work at peace. I practice peace. I
see
rest
you
in
as
peace.
A peaceful person.
Peace is my world, right? This is, peace is me. But the healthy thing where I still have these like fear things that come in my brain. I have to fight against them. But this is where I really think my identity is an identity of peace. Health, it's not really my identity. I don't even have to think about it. It's just like breathing. So if you struggle with your health journey, that is your real identity. That is your real calling. And that is where you are strong. You are strong. And because you've struggled, that's why you're strong.
And that's why you will be strong too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an ongoing thing. And it's just that it's a lie that you are not who you think you are, because Peter thought he wasn't disciple.
You're right.
But what was the truth? Christ said he was. That was the truth. It was the lie, even though it looked like he wasn't to everyone. If I was there, I would have think, well, that Peter is not a disciple anymore. I would have thought that. But that wasn't the truth.
Can I interrupt you and just go back really quickly to that whole peace journey? When you walk on an airplane, I've said this before, but when you walk on an airplane and you see those people on the plane that think they're peaceful, right? Peace is just so easy for them. They wake up in the morning, they press a little espresso shot on their machine. There's no noise. There's no children. There's no one else to make breakfast for. You know, they just walk out of their city apartment and then just say, press a button on the Mecca burger, whatever. Everything is just
the
press
Mecca
a button.
Burger dinner.
Everything just happens for them. They have this great job. They've got nobody right? They're not even really peaceful.
Their environment is peaceful.
There's no struggle. But the mother who wakes up to an exploded poop that's all over not only the baby, but her nightgown and the sheet she just finished washing like the night before, right? And there's a toddler who got up and wiped the poop all over, you know, because he's just being potty trained. He tried to wipe it and it didn't work. And it was a bit on the fingers and he just wiped wherever he was going down the corridor to get mama to help, you know. And then, you know, just everybody, this is about four more to make breakfast for when she finally gets up and get that all that clean too. And they're all screaming, you know, and there's just staff and the husband's job just got lost. No job. We don't know where the money's coming from. And, you know, this trailer home's getting mighty small. That is a peaceful woman. And I don't care if she's even like pulling her hair out. She is the one that's in this struggle is the most peaceful at all because she has to try for it.
Well, because she has
to stand in it.
Well, she got two. But she's turned it into four and it still looks bad compared to the one who was given eight. Mm. But she was more faithful.
Right.
Exactly. You know, it's like you compare yourself to others and you feel like a failure. But with what you've been given and what you've made out of it, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
I heard a story about that.
Did you?
And I won't be able to say it properly. And maybe you've all heard it and you could say it better than me. But it was like this. It was this wonderful Christian was walking down the road and, you know, they had the button up, you know, and they kind of all looked very perfectly Baptist and they walk past this alley.
Poor Baptist.
Sorry, no, I just meant, you know, that's it. It's a type of people that kind of have it together.
They have it put together.
Right, they just have it together.
The Baptists own businesses.
Even at church, they have it together. They're not the wild ones.
Hands like, down, know, little like, palm up,
yeah,
maybe.
Just a little palm up, praise, you know. Anyway, this is just my
mortgage
story.
Guys.
Right, mortgage guys.
I went to
guys.
A Baptist church for years.
Good on you. I'm not against mortgage. The Baptists. Okay. I love the Baptists. I'm just, it was a compliment. They were perfectly put together. Okay. Right. Walking down the alley. The story probably wasn't even like that. This is just my rendition of it. But they're walking down this alley of the city and they saw this guy like kick a stray cat. And the stray cat goes up a couple of feet in the air, runs away. And you know, and the person thought, what a cold-hearted, mean person. And the story goes to say, no, that person is actually more kind and compassionate than that put together person walking down the street because of the fact that he didn't kill the cat, because of all the hurt that's gone in his life. You know, basically, he just like...
All he did was kick the cat?
All he did was slightly kick the cat, right?
I feel like this is a horrible analogy.
No, but the story was better.
I'm not getting it either. The story was better. Especially because the poor Baptist is the person that's not as good as the kicker of the cat.
I'm not saying it right.
No, because I love cats.
People look on and they say that person did that nasty thing. That person, you know, like said something mean.
The point's good.
Or that person was a jerk in the meeting or whatever. But the fact that they weren't fully outrageously jerky or they weren't fully like absolutely off their head mean, they actually were using constraint
but Serene,
and compassion.
They kicked a cat.
Listen, they didn't kick it much.
Oh, how many people can
they
you offend?
And they
what
should've.
About animal lovers are offended? Baptists are offended.
Listen, do you I get mean, the point?
I'm barely getting it.
The point being is that some people think that they've got
it's
it all
abusive
together.
Relationship.
Like, I feel like I got it together in my food.
Yeah.
I don't even have to try.
Hey.
But the person who only ate one donut and stopped before they got to 10 actually was using
now.
More self-control.
Should have used that one.
It's kind of like the wife who's griping because she's got only one black eye. Hey, you don't have two.
Oh, dear.
Be grateful.
No. The point was the fact that that woman with the black eye didn't go and be nastier, you know, to her people around her because, you know, she didn't go and like, sass off in the Walmart aisle to some fellow shopper. What incredible constraint she was using and what compassion she was using to her fellow citizen. Because really what she wanted to do was like...
The point is epic.
I don't... Yeah,
when people
I
hurt,
think you're wrecking
hurt.
The point now with her going to Walmart and not sassing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think the story could have been tweaked. Maybe
I got the donut part I got.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to find that story and reread it in all its glory. Because I've really done a bad job.
Yeah,
but it's so clear to me.
Yeah, I kind of got. We no, think, don't.
Just wait.
No.
Let
no,
me
no, here she goes. Here she goes.
We think people are
Can
failures.
Can I go to the bathroom?
When they look like a certain way. But maybe they're not failures. They're actually using some kind of incredible strength in that.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
You know, Serene, sometimes I just have to have pancakes in the morning. It's not an everyday thing for me. I can go with my oatmeal, I can go with my eggs and I'm happy, and then suddenly it hits me, Pearl, you need some pancakes.
But the good thing about our Trim Healthy pancakes, Pearl, or waffles, so
oh,
if you're a waffle
so
type
as simple as waffles
of girl, you just just put them in the waffle machine instead. But you know, a lot of natural pancake mixes, they taste like bricks.
Yeah.
That sink into your stomach. They're not light and fluffy like the white naughty kind.
No, I know. There's something about the white fluffy pancakes. Now, of course, since this is protein rich, gluten free, you can't go into it thinking this is going to be gluten rich and sugar full, right? Because that gives you the wrong impression. But I dare you to find a gluten free, low carb, protein rich mix that comes up. I mean, I know I'm just kind of being a little bit boasty right now, but we worked on this for 2 years.
Oh yeah.
Like trial after trial to try to make them as pancake-ish as you possibly can and doing it so super healthily, Serene.
Oh yeah. You know what I love about them is because they're actually a fuel pool.
I know, but you can make them SRE.
No, but that's the beauty. Because if they're a fuel pool, you can go either way, baby. Yeah,
I know.
You can put a little bit of bacon on the side,
butter
them with butter
on them.
Like just go for the succulent all the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or you can just go E with them and get you some carbs, get you some fruit, Greek and yogurt. Chop banana on top.
Or like, you know, you just heat up those blueberries and they get all syrupy on them on their own.
I'll tell you what's really cool about the actual ingredients in there. Okay, so none of those fillers. You're not going to see the things that are in other pancake mixes, like the tapioca starch, like the inulin, like all those things. What you're going to see is real ingredients. We have the first ingredient, lupin flour.
Which I love.
It is so stable on your blood sugar and it is kind to your waistline and it's naturally protein rich.
Satiating because the fiber is so, it doesn't bloat you, but the fiber is such a wonderful healing fiber to your gut.
Oh, yeah. I guys, you got to look at, before you purchase these, go on our website and just look at the ingredients and you'll just get the feeling of, okay, I can trust these. So what have we got? We've got non-GMO. We've got gluten-free. We've got dairy-free.
Yes.
Dairy-free, guys. And they've only got 3 net carbs. So do with them whatever you want, whatever your body needs or is craving, and fuel yourself up in the right way.
So when you're craving that pile of pancakes or waffles, no shame. You get to indulge and feel great about yourself.
Hey, you know, Serene, not only for breakfast, I have had these as waffles for lunch.
Oh, waffle sandwiches are a thing.
Yeah. No. You just put them in your little, I've got one of those really quick mini waffle makers.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a Dash, I think they're called
Yes, but mine's a 4 Dash.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they make the best sandwich casings. And once again, then they're fuel pool. So you can make an S sandwich, an E sandwich, or stay fuel pool, whatever you want. They are yum. Me.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Bring it back to my whole thing where I started off with Peter. Are you saying, hey, he didn't deny 10 times, he only denied 3?
I wasn't thinking of Peter at the time.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of the word failure. Okay. People in their failure, you know, people can look on and see that, and people in
it's
their own.
It's the way we look on, yeah.
Yeah, and the way people look at their own, they can just say, oh my goodness, I was just so whatever. But, you know, there is pressing
sometimes
situations.
Sometimes you certainly win at analogies. I wouldn't call this time a huge win, but hey,
sometimes
you got to keep going.
Sometimes you
Who
fall
was
in.
It? Like,
it's like a D minus.
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan said, I miss more than I win. But he's considered.
But he shows up.
But
yeah,
he's considered
my
the best
identity
and one of the
is
best
still
in the world.
A great storyteller on this party. I don't care if I failed.
Yeah, that's right.
You just illustrated.
I'm still an awesome
party
girl.
So we're not
going
to say Serene is out of the storytelling.
No,
Serene's out of the analogy.
She's a master storyteller.
Yeah, and that's why do I know I am a master storyteller? It's because I say enough that sometimes I lose them.
Yeah,
you know?
You keep going.
If you're you think you're a great storyteller, you haven't told enough. With bombs, right?
That's good.
This
okay, we're done.
Is the Trim Healthy Podcast. Trim Healthy Mama my way. And then I'll
be Trim Healthy Mama to stay. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.